Samuel Hinton is an award-winning astrophysicist, robotics and software engineer, astronomer, and a contestant on the recently finished season of Survivor Australia. He's brought his passion for science and space around the world, from lecture halls all the way to Aussie TVs this year, and also on his podcast, Commuting the Cosmos. And we're very happy to be joined on the phone by Samuel right now. Samuel, how are you going?
I'm going good, mate. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Thank you so much for joining us here on Friday Drive. It's very much appreciated. You've won a whole cabinet of awards. When are you going to have a crack at the Nobel Prize?
Well, I told myself I'd have one by the time I was 24, so I seem to have missed that deadline. But give me a couple more years, and hopefully I can pull something out.
That's kind of an arbitrary.
No promises.
That's an arbitrary number, 24. Why did you choose that?
It turns out that would have tied me for the youngest Nobel Prize winner, but I couldn't beat Maxwell. He won one with his dad many, many years ago, and it turns out I simply wasn't good enough. So, yeah, that's life.
But it's still the dream?
Yeah, still the dream. One day.
And so, obviously, there are a lot of, even without having a Nobel Prize under your belt, a lot of feathers in your cap. Astrophysicist, robotics and software engineer, astronomer, so much more. What kicked off your passion for the sciences?
I probably have to thank my mum for that. You know, she was never into letting me watch cartoons or whatever. So when I'd come back from school, if I was good, I would get to watch some documentaries with David Attenborough and learn how the world works. Instead of Harry Potter, she bought me an encyclopedia, so I read that when I was five. I was pretty much a lost cause from a very early age, but I seem to love it. So thanks, mum, if you're listening.
Yeah,
I appreciate
shout outs.
It.
Shout outs yeah. to Mrs. Samuel's mum. Good on you. You've raised a good kid. Now, with all the sort of the insight that you have into science, do you sort of have a futurist, being a futurist is a very hard job, but do you sort of have any insight on the huge ideas and inventions that might be just over the horizon?
Well, I hope so. It's something that I follow a lot because I would surely love to take part in some of them. But, you know, if you go back to 1980 and you look at all the pictures of what they think the year 2000 will look like, you've got all these flying cars and moon bases and everything. So it seems that, you know, for most of the time, humanity isn't quite good at predicting what's coming around the corner. So, I mean, I can guess, but don't place any bets on what I say.
Okay. All right, fair enough then. Hey, already yeah. this year, the winners of the Nobel Prize for Physics were awarded, from my understanding, and this could be completely wrong because I don't have a scientific mind, because when I came home from school, I did watch cartoons. But the winners for the physics this year for microscopic laser tweezers and ultra-powerful laser scalpels. That's kind of a sci-fi level of advancement right there.
Oh, yeah, it's some crazy, interesting stuff. So, yeah, the Nobel Prize given to three people, Ashkin, Moreau, and Strickland, half of it for optical tweezers. And so these are these really cool ways of essentially you can focus down a laser beam in a similar way to getting a magnifying glass and going outside and focusing the light. And anything that is essentially a dielectric will follow the laser beam. Now, a bunch of things are dielectric, like our cells or an atom or a molecule. So you can use these laser beams to essentially isolate and pull apart these tiny little things for scientific study. So they've been used really cool. But the one that I think is way more awesome, and yeah, sorry, Arthur, if you're listening, is the ultra short optical pulses. That was the other half of the prize.
Right.
And essentially, people made lasers back in the 60s, and everyone was like, oh my God, this is so awesome. And they kept trying to increase the power of the lasers because you can do, you know, the more power you have, the more cool physics you can do. But they hit this wall, and there's something known as self-focusing, which is essentially a way of catastrophic failure when a laser gets too intense. It essentially destroys itself, which is really interesting, but I don't have time to talk about that. But what these people did was they found a way of getting around that barrier. They take their laser pulse, and if you try and amplify it, it just fails. But they made this thing, which is essentially called a chirped pulse amplification, where they take a laser pulse. They then spread it out over a huge range of frequencies and time. They amplify that, and so that they keep it below that failure threshold. And then their method essentially squishes the laser pulse back down into like the shortest possible pulse that they can. And so that's how you get these like gigawatt, pentawatt, and terawatt lasers, which are not a joke. They are extraordinarily powerful.
Is it sort of like sci-fi weaponry levels of power, like I could blow up a planet or at least have a handheld one with which to deal with my enemies?
Well, I'm hoping on commercializing that soon. That would be a dream come true.
Oh, dude, and I've got your phone number.
Yeah, well, I'll give you a 50% discount. Yeah. You might have to start saving, though. They're not going to come cheap. Yeah. But they're fascinating things. Though at the moment they're quite big, many tons. So we're just working on shrinking them down. It should be done soon. Yeah.
Well, that's micro. Let's go macro. How are we going in the world of outer space? Is there any asteroids aimed at us? Are we still expanding at a good speed?
Still expanding. That's never going to stop, unfortunately. There's a bit of news close to home. I don't know if you've heard, but recently there was a dwarf planet discovered that's been named the Goblin.
The Goblin.
Ring a bell?
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's a very intimidating name, though.
It is for a very non-intimidating dwarf planet. It's only 300 kilometers wide, and it's really far away. Its orbit at the far end is 60 times further away than Pluto, so it's not exactly close to home. But it's interesting. They've been observing it since 2015, and the reason they got the name the Goblin was just because they initially found it around Halloween. The formal name is 2015 TG387, and you can see why they decided to give it something a little more zazzy.
And so how does it get classified as a planet in the solar system? Because didn't one of the other planets sort of get dropped off?
Yeah, we got rid of Pluto. Turns out Pluto just, it wasn't big enough. We like big things, but essentially the definition changed to a planet is something that has to clear out its orbit, and Pluto crosses with Neptune. So it's not big enough to actually get rid of Neptune or have its own orbit. So we thought, okay, it's not really a planet. And the reason we have to say that is if you take everything that's like Pluto-sized out near where Pluto is as a planet, then suddenly we have hundreds of planets in the solar system, right? There's lots of these big balls of rock just floating around out there. It's just that we discovered Pluto, quite a long time ago because it was so close to Neptune that we put it in the solar system before realizing, hey, there are lots of these guys.
Yeah, and I guess we don't want to get on the bad side of the citizens of Pluto should they come to invade Earth.
That would not go well.
Wouldn't go well at all. Before we go, you were on Survivor. How was that whole experience? And it must have been like a bit of a dream come true to go adventuring for $500,000 on a tropical island.
Oh, it definitely was. And being fortunate enough to be on the Champions Tribe, we won all the rewards. So for the first 3 weeks, it essentially was a great Fiji holiday. We had fire, shelter, all this spare food floating around, and the poor contenders are over there shivering and trying to get scraps to eat. I quite enjoyed that part, and then eventually they all voted me off. How dare they?
I know. Don't worry, we'll get our revenge on them yet. Do any of them have access to a laser? I think not.
Yeah, that's right. I'm coming for them.
You heard it here first. All you other people who voted Samuel off the island, you're going to get yours. Samuel Hinton, thank you so much for joining us. How do people access your Commuting the Cosmos podcast?
Hopefully they can just Google it. It's on iTunes, Spotify, all the normal places. Find it online if you're interested. We talk about a bunch of fun space stuff, and hopefully soon I'll have another episode out on how we find exoplanets.
Wow, thank you so much for joining us, Samuel. I'll get you back on the show really soon, because obviously I want to stay on your good side with the whole laser thing.
Yeah, a very smart decision. All right. Well, thanks for having me, mate.
No worries, mate. Have a great weekend, Samuel. Right. You are listening to Friday Drive on 2SER.